This episode is brought to you by Morty, Buzzshot, Cogs by Clockwork Dog, Recon, and Patreon supporters like you.
Cogs by Clockwork Dog is an easy-to-use software-hardware platform for running interactive events, including escape rooms and other immersive experiences. Their plug-and-play hardware seamlessly integrates with their software, so you can create a show with lighting and sound cues without having to write a single line of code. Map all kinds of inputs to outputs by building up simple logic steps, which determine what you want to happen and when. Cogs 5 is now available. There's new and improved functionality, including remote connectivity, Zigbee connections to power smart bulbs, buttons, and switches. There's an app that turns any smartphone into your own media master. There's MIDI support to connect keyboards and instruments, as well as relay support. There is also Buzzshot integration, so you can pull the player's information directly into the game. Get the COGS starter set for only $130 plus free shipping to the USA. This bundle is usually valued at $257. You can learn more and purchase your starter set at COGS.show. Use code REPOD at checkout. That's REPOD. Link and details in the show notes.
Welcome to the Reality Escape Pod, your lifeline when you need a getaway from the real world. I'm David Spira, alongside my co-host, PG Law. Together, we're exploring immersive gaming from all angles, and we'll be joined by guests who really know their stuff. This season, we are shining a spotlight on Southern California in celebration of our convention, Recon, which will be in Universal City, California on August 18th and 19th, 2024. Tickets are on sale now at realityescapecon.com. And today's guests are Blake Hodges-Koch and Thomas Meston, the creators behind Wild Heart Ranch, the enchanting escape room meets Airbnb in the desert outside of Joshua Tree, California. Welcome, Blake and Thomas.
Thank you, guys. Excited to be here.
Hello.
I am so thrilled to have you on. We have been waiting for an immersive style Airbnb for a long time. Recently, both David and I separately had a chance to come out and visit, and we both had just a magical time. So let's start with, what is Wild Heart Ranch?
Wild Heart Ranch is a vacation home rental with a built-in immersive escape game experience on a 40-acre oasis in Joshua Tree, California. Basically, it's an Airbnb that has a full autonomous escape game style experience that you unfold and discover during your stay. There's no timer, there's no GM. There's just a story, a game, and a world that's waiting for you to discover and play. And you can engage with it as much as you want or not. You can chill in the hot tub all weekend if that's what you want to do. But it's an experience there, and it's really exciting when people discover it and embark on the quest.
For people who are thinking about coming to visit Wild Heart Ranch, how long do you have to stay? How much time does it take to play this game? What does it feel like when you're there as a participant?
Yeah, so our bookings are a two-night minimum, and it's not because the experience takes a minimum of two nights to do start to finish. It's more just, we're remote. We're out there.
Can confirm.
Yeah. A couple miles of dirt roads to get to us. Don't worry, any kind of car can make it if you follow the directions. We asked for two-night minimum mostly because it's a journey just to get here. It's an adventure just to get here. And we don't want people to come and just arrive and then rush through the experience. Half of the joy, in our opinion, is just being here in the Joshua Tree Desert, being at Wild Heart Ranch, and just soaking in the kind of desert environment, you know, getting into the vibe of the space, and also taking your time with the quest that's there. There's a lot of content. It's definitely not days of content if you do it, you know, start to finish. It's maybe, you know, a few hours if you just do it back to back. But yeah, it's a two-night minimum, and some people will stay two nights. Some people will stay a week. It really varies. And it's just like whatever you want to make it. When you arrive at the ranch, there's no GM or host or front of house greeting you. You just arrive. The ranch is there waiting for you. You get a code to enter the house, and that's it. You're on your own. You can have fun and make the trip of it as you will.
I can confirm the value of taking your time and really soaking the place in. The whole surrounding environment feels like another planet. to me, it feels like the closest I will ever get to setting foot on Mars. And the world of the game, and then the world that you are also in, just like the actual environment, feel strange and magical and unusual. Yeah, just slowing down, not going on the internet, relaxing and taking it in really felt powerful.
Now, I know in the property, you have two separate buildings that you could rent either one independent of each other. Is that correct?
That's a good question. I should probably describe the property at large. So my wife, Bea, and I own the Wild Heart Ranch property. It's a 40-acre parcel of land just outside of Joshua Tree. And it has our house. We live here. But then separately, there is the rental of Wild Heart Ranch. And that rental itself is comprised of two cabins and then various amenities, the fenced-in area, hot tub, pool, all that kind of stuff. And then we do have a second rental on the property at the other end of the property that's what you would call just like a typical Airbnb. It's not included in the Wild Heart Ranch game yet, but it is a separate rental that we have. So there are the two different rentals. As far as Wild Heart Ranch with its two cabins, we rent that as one unit, one whole rental, even though it is a couple of different structures.
And you as a participant definitely want to explore both. Whether you stay in both, it's up to you, but you definitely want to explore both. One thing that I want to point out for all of our listeners, since Room Escape Artist first launched, one of the perennial questions that we have received in our inbox goes something like, I love escape rooms. Is there an escape room that I can stay in for a couple of days? And for many years, the answer was just bluntly, sorry, no. No one has figured out how to build a business model that can support that, but it does sound fun. But now we have Wild Heart Ranch, and there are also a few other escape room Airbnb type experiences that have emerged. There's the Sherlock Home, a House of Conundrums in San Antonio, Texas, which was reviewed by Room Escape Artist reviewer Sarah Mendez, and I've heard tale of some others in the Midwest. This is now a thing, and I'm very excited that we get the opportunity to dig into this with you both as we're at the beginning of all of this and trying to figure out what this new format and structure even is.
So what were the two of you doing before this? And how did this crazy project come about?
Yeah, it's a great question. Like most of these conversations, it's a story about the pandemic. But in part, we were already exploring immersive design before this for a couple years. But really, when Blake and I first met, we were trying to do film production. We were trying to make films, short films, with a bunch of different people all throughout LA. At the same time, we were also involved with the sort of arts collective, it was called Cartel, and doing weird experimental art parties, performance arty stuff, experimental theater. We were always dabbling in the strange immersive experience things in LA. And so we at one point just decided we wanted to pivot from filmmaking and try our hand at some of this immersive design and immersive creation. And so, yeah, we put on immersive shows in bars, at parties, always heavily mixed with an acting element, but also with puzzles, because that was the through line for us. We were always drawn to the game element. So we were trying to find the perfect melding and mashing of the storytelling, acting, and the puzzles and see how we can bring them together to make something amazing.
Sounds like my idea of a great time.
Yeah, yeah. We were doing a bunch of things. The project we were doing before this was actually very technically involved. It was essentially like a mini escape room for two people that we were thinking of having a mobile thing. We spent almost 2 years building an entire prototype out of my garage. We premiered it in LA at Two-Bit Circus's beta night. And literally the month after that, the pandemic hit.
Like the week after.
The week after that. That's right. That's right.
The project was called Dreamlink. It was a two-person escape room where you're in pods and you have to do collaborative puzzles with each other and communicate between these two pods. And we debuted this at Beta Night at Two-Bit Circus on February 25th, 2020. Right. And we were planning on having this be our next big thing, move it around, shop it around to different spaces and have this, yeah, mobile escape game experience. It was very kind of David Lynch-y themed and styled. And a week later, the pandemic slams into our lives and we've had to hit pause and rethink everything.
Yeah, we had tons of very ambitious ideas. And then we had to have that conversation that many of the other creators that you've spoken to on this podcast have had at that point. It's like, okay, well, crap.
Yeah.
Everything we were planning on doing now is not a great idea. We were having
major dark horse of the soul moment.
Yeah. People like cramped in tiny little spaces, like doing these things. So it's like, all right, what are we going to do?
The upside is that you did not have a lease signed.
That's true. You're right.
Yeah. Very good point.
We were not locked down. Yeah.
What's the status of Dreamlink?
The status of Dreamlink, sadly, is scrapped in a shed behind our house.
Fair enough.
That's maybe one day we'll revive it back from the dead. But yeah, sadly, it's kaput.
I've parted it for parts for Wild Heart Ranch. So it is.
Yeah.
It exists in a different life.
There were maybe like 40 to 50 people that got to try it at Two Bit Circus that night. One quick thing I'll say in terms of like our genesis, to take it a little bit further back. My background is in film and video production. That's been my career all the way until the pandemic, both documentaries and narrative film and then commercial filmmaking for the past several years. That's essentially how I met Thomas. Thomas was an actor, part of this art collective group called Cartel that he referenced. And I was brought in to record some promotional videos for the group. Thomas and I hit it off immediately, just a myriad of common interests, old video games, puzzle games, et cetera, immersive experiences. And we started making film projects together. So we started doing short films and things like that. We started a filmmaker collective in LA that lasted several years. And that was our kind of main outlet, was doing film and storytelling. Thomas has more of a background in theater, but I have film. And then it was like when we started doing escape rooms and other immersive experiences in the late 2010s, we were like, whoa, this is a pretty amazing new form of storytelling that has so much potential and so much promise. And I think it really excited us in a way that film felt like it was always lacking a little bit. Film felt a little too like passive in the end product. So when we started doing escape rooms and immersive experiences, we're like, whoa, there's some serious potential here.
That's wonderful. So how do you end up in Joshua Tree from Los Angeles?
Cheap real estate. That's how we ended up out here. My now wife, B, and I started traveling out to Joshua Tree in 2019, in like early 2019. I was born and raised in Southern California. I've been out to the desert many times. Thomas has been out to the desert many times. The desert has been like a seriously deep-rooted part of my family history. My great-grandfather owned a gold mine 30 minutes past Coachella. Remnants of it are still there to this day. My wife, Bea, and I started traveling out to Joshua Tree in the spring of 2019 and just immediately fell in love with the area, especially her. She had never been out. She's from Chicago. She's like, this is a magical, amazing place. And she's like, would it be crazy if we moved here? And I was like, yes, that would be crazy. But I also like it. I like the idea. Cut to a few months later, we were on another trip. And it's like, what if we just started looking at some properties, see what we got going out here? I think we were both at the point in our life where we were starting and thinking about buying a home. And it felt like everything in Los Angeles, PG, you could probably attest to this, just stunningly inaccessible price-wise for us. We just could not fathom buying a decent home in Los Angeles. So we started looking in Joshua Tree and we met with this real estate agent, and coincidentally, Wild Heart Ranch was the first property that he showed us. And we drove out on these dirt roads and he's like, yeah, so this is a 40-acre property with three cabins and a house on it. And we're thinking, oh my God, this has got to be just outrageously expensive. And it was not, you know, all things considered, it was like half the price of a normal house in LA. And so we looked at a bunch of other places, smaller things, and we just kept coming back to this spot. And we're like, man, the value is there. The potential is there. Let's just roll the dice and go with it. Let's see what happens. So yeah, we bought the place and then we like half moved out here in the summer of 2019 when we bought it. So 6 months before the pandemic, we had this. I was still working in video production, so I was splitting my time between Joshua Tree and LA. I was literally like 1 week here, 1 week there, back and forth. And yeah, it wasn't until the pandemic fully came on that we're like, whoa, okay, forget about the city. We're going out to the desert full time. And we've been out here since.
For anyone from LA, it's a great getaway because it's still within driving distance.
Yeah.
As a Northeasterner who had never really been to this part of the world, I've spent a lot of time in the outdoors, had never spent much time in the desert. And this was a very foreign, very exciting experience.
Yeah. And it's I benefited quite a bit from Blake making that call because I got to go out there and pretty much stay whenever I wanted, brought the family out. So it was like my personal little getaway to escape from the city and recharge and absorb like the desert magic and then go back to the real world. But Blake chose to stay in the magic.
Well, that leads into my next question, which is, who is Wildheart Ranch for? When you initially created this, who did you think it was going to be for? And has that changed with who is actually booking it?
Yeah, that's a really good question. And the answer to that evolves and it's still changing to this day. When the pandemic hit, Thomas and I spent those first 6 months building what became the very first iteration of Wildheart Ranch. It was a much, much more simple, streamlined version of what it is now. And we released it. It was a start to finish puzzle quest with a beginning, middle, and end, but it was smaller. And we didn't promote it or advertise it at all. Beyond a handful of friends, we just made it and left it. And that was it. And we had guests come to just stay at the Airbnb. And many of them didn't notice it or didn't say anything about it, but some people did. And some people started noticing the trailheads into this puzzle quest and would do it. And would comment to us and be like, hey, we discovered this crazy adventure thing. Were we supposed to do this? It took us on an adventure out into the middle of the desert with a hatch and, you know, magical treasure. What is going on?
Hold on. Did you advertise that it's like an immersive experience in the Airbnb listing? Or you just listed it like it's just a regular old Airbnb and you didn't say anything about the immersive part?
In the beginning, we said almost nothing. And maybe at most we said there are some secrets you can discover during your stay. That honestly may have been the extent of it. We didn't say it was an immersive experience, no escape room, nothing.
I hope that when people sent you a message asking about this, you were like, wait, what?
I shouldn't talk about.
You've spawned 10 new conspiracy theorists.
Yeah. You found what out there?
There's a pretty awesome period of time where we were starting to have pretty big ideas for it. And we started to blue sky like crazy right off the bat when we decided we were going to go full on and full force into this project. But we also didn't want it to take forever to launch, like to say that we're done and then start promoting it. In a way, the fact that it is an Airbnb, we sort of used it to our advantage. That first and foremost, Blake and B did such an amazing job at renovating these cabins and making such a perfect, beautiful place to just stay. It's already an immersive experience, like you're in the desert. It's already an amazing place. We had the advantage of being able to slow roll our stages of the experience as a whole. So we just said, we have all these plans, like pages and pages of ideas. Why don't we start small, like Blake said, and roll out the treasure quest. Let's just roll it out. We don't have to say anything about it. We know that we're going to keep adding to this thing. We know the end goal, but this is like the intro to the story. We had the story Bible at that time, but there was an awesome period of time where there were guests that had no idea. Their full families with teenage kids who were dragged along on their road trip or whatever, this vacation. And then they organically discovered this crazy thing and it like just blew their minds. It was so cool reading like reviews of people just like absolutely amazed that this thing was there.
We're taking a moment to thank our sponsor, Morty. Morty is a free app for discovering, planning, tracking, and reviewing escape rooms, haunts, and other immersive social outings. And Morty is now available for all to use on its fantastic website experience, iPhone app, and its new Android app, available in the Google Play Store now. I believe in Morty so much that I have a stake in it as an advisor.
David, you know what I love more than escape rooms?
Is it getting a discount? I'm pretty sure it's getting a discount.
It is playing amazing escape rooms, having an easy time finding them, and absolutely it is getting discounts. And Morty has promo codes now. So if you are a player, make sure to browse Morty for your favorite escape rooms. You can look up promo codes. They all have a little sign on them. And if you are an escape room owner, consider adding a promo code to your Morty listing. It's marked with a little symbol, so it makes it stand out, and it'll bring you more business. You can learn more at morty.app/repod. That's R-E-P-O-D. To sign up and get a special badge for our listeners. Link and details in the show notes.
At what point did you decide to make this more obvious?
As Thomas and I added more and more kind of features and puzzle tracks and immersive elements to it, it got more and more to a point that we felt we had grounding to stand upon to even call it like an immersive experience or escape game. There's so many guests that you guys have had that have brought up the imposter syndrome. It's such a cliche at this point, but we felt the same exact thing to the point where like we haven't even called it an escape room or escape game until extremely recently. The closest thing that we dabbled before that point was an immersive Airbnb. And of course, we thought, oh, that'll clue people to what's going on. That'll tip the hat, so to speak. And no one knew what that meant. It was too vague. No one got it. They knew there was something involved, but it was just too vague. So it was really just like as we rolled out more and got it to a point, and then we started noticing that more and more escape room enthusiasts were coming out. And it became interesting. And I remember Dan Egnor was actually one of the early kind of adopters of this, if you will, and speak our praises about the experience. And we're like, wow, Dan is such a figure in the escape room world. Like maybe we're starting to tap into that community a little bit. And now I would say the vast bulk of our guests are escape room enthusiasts that directly seek us out. And so I think at that point we had to realize, okay, I guess it's time to actually consider ourselves an escape room, or at least like an escape game related experience. And so it was a long adoption process, and I think we're finally there. But it was certainly a journey, yeah.
You're there. I can confirm you're there.
We can do more. We have more ideas.
Please do more. You have crossed the threshold where you are definitely in this escape room experience realm doing your own thing.
We love that. We love that. No, I think it was some point in the past year, you know, Thomas and I installed the last couple major elements. And I think that we looked at each other more like, okay, I think we're good for the time being. We're in a good spot. We like this. You know, we're going to let this ride and see how it goes. And I think that that's when the escape room community really started taking notice and coming out. And they're our favorite guests to have. Some of the element of surprise is now lost because we're openly admitting that it's an escape game. Still, you know, I don't know, you guys tell us, like, it seems like people still are able to take part in that surprise, that level of surprise, which is our favorite thing.
I would say I was pretty pleasantly surprised, and I hear a lot about what's going on out there, and you guys still had a few aces hidden, so I wouldn't be too worried about that.
There are a lot of things that you can't do because you are functioning in an unsupervised escape room space, but there are also many other things that you can do that escape rooms could never dream of. So I think even as somebody who has played a frankly silly number of escape rooms and seen a lot of different things, there were so many things happening in Wild Heart Ranch that were completely foreign to the experience that I have had. And so I think that there is a lot of room within it to delight and surprise even the most experienced and I would say probably even the most jaded of escape room player.
And also, we're way off topic now from the questions, but I love that I could do this with my dog. I was like, this is the best. We can have our dogs there. They're running around. I'm like, I get to do this escape room with my friends. And, you know, I'm sure there's people there who have families. Maybe you have young children. It's not always easy to bring them along to an escape room. And you're like, I've got an hour. I don't have time to make sure they're having a good time because I want to maximize my good time. Yeah. And so when you're in something that you're there for 2 days, there's plenty of time for everything. You can bring people who aren't interested, kids, your dogs. To me, that was one of the best parts about it also.
That was definitely a big plus that we saw going into it. I think Blake and I both felt very strongly about providing no time limit whatsoever. I mean, the time limit is you got to check out at some point based on what you said. But allowing that space for you to be able to sit and contemplate a puzzle, the space to just soak it in and soak in the environment, soak in your task, your quest, or what you're trying to do, and not feel the constant pressure of there's a timer ticking down, there's all these people waiting on me to figure out a puzzle. It allows you the time to appreciate the puzzle, hopefully, solve it, and then move on to the next thing with breathing room. And I think that was something that was important to us. Yeah.
Don't get us wrong. We love escape rooms and we love a stressful time limit.
You know,
getting through a room in an hour and having that stressful, like beat the clock kind of mentality. We absolutely love that. Wildheart Ranch is different. We want you to soak in the world. Thomas and I were joking about this, that, you know, playing Myst and Riven growing up, it's kind of a cliche for a lot of creators, it almost sounds like, but we love that ability of just, you're dropped into the middle of a world and it's on you. Take your own exploration at your own pace and follow this journey and this quest at your own pace. And, you know, whether that's fast or slow, it's on you and however you want to make the most of that experience.
This was by far the most Myst-like experience I have had in real life. In fact, it may be the only one that I think actually feels like Myst in that way, because of that self-propelled freedom and that lack of time constraint. It really did capture that vibe.
BuzzShot is escape room software powering business growth, player marketing, and improving the customer experience. They offer an assortment of pre- and post-game features, including robust waiver management, branded team photos, and streamlined review management for Yelp, TripAdvisor, Google Reviews, and Morty. BuzzShot now also has integration with our other Repod sponsors, Morty and Cogs.
BuzzShot not only automates the hassle of asking your players to leave a review, it also has a review monitor feature that shows all your reviews in one central place. I know that it's important to see what players are saying about your game masters, and the search feature makes it so easy.
Stella Adami from The Room in Berlin tells us that since using BuzzShot, we constantly receive at least 30% more TripAdvisor reviews than before.
And in Europe, TripAdvisor is the platform you want to be reviewed on.
Streamline your marketing and grow your escape room business. Repod listeners get an extended free trial and 20% off your first 3 months with no setup fees or hidden charges. Visit buzzshot.com/repod, that's R-E-P-O-D, to learn more. Link and details in the show notes.
When I reviewed your work, when I reviewed Wildheart Ranch, I wrote, quote, "Wildheart Ranch pulled off many magic tricks. They made us comfortable in a fictitious home in the desert, made us care for people who never existed, and gave us childlike adventure, all in an alien, unsupervised environment. For me, so much of this was rooted in the aesthetic and design of the world. There's a sense of style that brought this world to life. Where did that come from?"
That's great.
First of all, great review, David.
Yeah, thank you.
I sent this to my family members and they were like, I literally teared up reading this review.
Yeah. Thank you so much. Yeah.
Yeah, thank you.
You are very welcome. Thank you for the adventure. But yeah, I'm dying to know more about where this aesthetic came from, because this completely changed the way that I think about a few different elements of design.
Where I would start with answering that question is probably Disneyland. Thomas and I both grew up in Southern California. We didn't know each other until our mid-20s. I grew up going to Disneyland. My family had annual passes, so we probably went on average once a week. It was crazy. We would go just to see Fantasmic, you know, whatever, but like just soaking in Disneyland and being there from a young age on over and over, there's obvious magic there, and there's still the cream of the crop in terms of building immersive worlds. So for me personally, that was a huge inspiration a funny side note is both Thomas and I worked at Disneyland at the same time when we were like 18, 19 and didn't even know each other yet for like a handful of years. I worked on Autopia, the stupid car ride. And Tom, what did you do, Thomas?
Oh, man, I was hoping you wouldn't bring this up, but this is the embarrassing question that I get. I was in the Main Street Electrical Parade as a performer in the parade. I wore tights and everything. Yeah. For like a good 4 months.
He hates admitting he wore the tights. Come on, just embrace it.
Yeah, there were tights. Yes.
But no, what were you going to say to this, Thomas?
Yeah, obviously Disneyland was a huge influence on both of us. Southern California, born and raised. So we just grew up around that. But speaking to the style of it, the way that Blake and I both approach a creative project is sort of almost as a style world first approach, where we have an idea of the vibe, I guess. I hate using that term, but we have an idea of the vibe we want to go for and the feeling.
It's an appropriate term here.
Yeah. Yeah, it works. And, you know, and the world that we want to build, the desert is already such a, it's built in there, the vibe and the feeling when you're standing there, like you said, you're feeling like you're standing on an alien planet. So it's a great start right off the bat. So how do we amplify this feeling? Like, how do we tap into the core of what makes the desert so magical and then complement that as you go along? From there, you have the world, the style of the world, and then we start building the story and the characters and populate the story with the characters, all revolving around how do we tap into the desert magic.
This makes sense because you can't fake that desert environment, and it is putting in a lot of work. Some of it is working against you and some of it is working for you, and you just had to fit it all in. For me, the major takeaway from the aesthetic was I've generally disliked going to Airbnbs because I feel like they usually fall into one of a few different categories. One is that you are literally living in someone else's space and you are functionally an intruder and it doesn't feel very welcoming. Or you are in this very sterile space that is minimally furnished, has the bare minimum art on the wall. Somehow they all manage to get the same art. And you feel like you are in the model home from Arrested Development, like it's not a real place. Wild Heart, to me, I felt like I had stepped into the home of these people and I got to enjoy their personalities and their quirks, but I didn't feel like I was an intruder. And that, for me, opened up my eyes to some new potential in set design and aesthetic design in environments. It just really recontextualized the idea of kind of a rented live-in space to me.
Yeah. Back to the story of my wife, Bea, and I, when we would come out to Joshua Tree, we stayed in some genuinely amazing Airbnbs. That's part of what has put Joshua Tree on the map in the past few years. Unfortunately, to a overindulgent degree recently, there are now too many Airbnbs out here and it's changed the equation. But when we first started coming out, we stayed in some truly incredible places. And we knew at minimum, we wanted to offer that. We wanted to offer a place that was unique, that embraced the character of the area, and offered an experience of some kind that people felt both comfortable in, but also provided fun and just a memorable experience. But probably the key for us with Wild Heart Ranch is because we had to flip these cabins. They're original homesteader cabins from the 1950s, by the way. But when we bought the property, they were just in a sorry state. The advantage there is that as we renovated and flipped these cabins, Thomas and I were already working on the narrative framework of what became Wild Heart Ranch. We were able to develop the story bible and the characters and the world in tandem with decorating and renovating these cabins. So all the decisions that we made were informed by this story world and by these characters. When we were picking out furniture in like antique shops in Palm Springs, I literally had in the back of my mind, like, wow, this would be great for Silas's room. This would be exactly the type of television Grandpa Ray would have in his living room. So it was able to help make decisions like that. And I think, or I hope that that authenticity to the storytelling is felt by the guests. It's not just shoehorned in. It really came from a place of narrative-based design, I guess is the best way I can frame it.
I certainly think it did. Shifting subjects slightly, there is a sort of blank canvas complexity to designing for an untimed and wide open 40-acre environment. How did you go about finding the right story, the right length, and the right level of complexity for this experience?
Ooh,
tough one. Self-editing.
I mean, that's always the answer.
We have much more, actually, that isn't on the ranch yet. But yeah, we started the Bible of the story and then slowly decided where to dispense those pieces of the story. We started with just the basic treasure hunt, quote unquote basic, but we had the beginnings of Grandpa Ray, like we introduced his story there. But we always knew that we wanted to expand the family story and expand the different spaces of the ranch to introduce the different characters. So it was sort of like, as we progressed, we added new information about like the grandchildren and the larger world. At first, it was just about the grandpa and his journey.
Like probably many, if not most, creators out there, Escape Room and otherwise, we came to the project with a kind of comically ambitious initial outline. We still have it. It's just like, it's ludicrous to even think about trying to pull it off. There's just so many different threads and puzzles and characters and like all these different things. And we're like, yeah, we're going to do this because we have the space to do it. And we're going to do all of these things. And almost luckily, what came to be is like, there are just physical restrictions to what we could accomplish in a certain amount of time. And so we knew that, okay, we have a rough target date of when we'd like to open. So let's just do what we can right now. Simplify this one puzzle track and get that good enough and then put it out there and then we'll improve upon it as we go. And that's what we did. So when we opened Labor Day of 2020, it was this one stripped down piece of this larger outline that we had. And unlike most escape rooms, we have the freedom and the flexibility to iterate and add on to it as we go. It's not like it's a one and done, like you build it and it's open and that's it. We have the space and the ability and the time to add entire puzzle tracks and spaces and technology and like all of these things. And that's what we've done. So from September of 2020, when we opened, we have not stopped adding on to Wild Heart Ranch until recently. But even then, we're still refining things. So we've been adding all along the way. And yeah, there were big pieces of the puzzle that came a year or 2 years after that initial date. So the answer is we've just added on until we felt that our guests had a full and complete experience and were satisfied with that. And then we were like, okay, I think we got there. I think we're in a good spot.
So what I'm hearing is if you've gone a year in the past, you can go again. And if you've gone recently, go again in a couple of years.
I will happily go back in a few years.
There you go.
One of my favorite things about Wild Heart Ranch was the custom soundtrack that greeted us. There are radios in every room and they're all tuned to the same station and it plays a curated playlist, including announcements that you've created. This soundtrack honestly went such a long way towards cultivating the whole vibe of Wild Heart, just the way like, you know, Wes Anderson films have that soundtrack and it really puts you in the mindset. I'll probably ask you for the Spotify playlist after this, but what went into making this happen? And why did you put in so much effort towards this?
I'm so glad that you brought that up.
So coming from a film background, I know how important soundtrack and music is to an experience and to storytelling. I love music. It's one of my great passions in life. And I just know that no matter what, I want to pack in music and soundtrack to any available opportunity. So in the very beginning, when we opened Wild Heart Ranch, I just had a very simple playlist on a CD because I could loop the CD on a CD player inside of the ranch. And it was like 12 tracks, old timey country stuff, you know, some exotica music, that kind of thing. And it just looped. And it was always on when people arrived at the ranch. And I can't tell you guys how many comments we got about the music. This one 12 song CD playlist, people were like, oh my gosh, we opened the door and there was this music playing from the rooms. And we were like, this is amazing. And I'm like, it's just a CD. So then Thomas and I knew we always wanted to expand upon that. And then it took us honestly a couple of years before we were able to, but then we did.
Yeah, it's my favorite part of the ranch. Like Blake said, we're big video game nerds. And we had this idea that was, I think it was inspired from Fallout, where you're walking around the world. And one of the most effective world building elements of Fallout is the stupid radio station that you always have wherever you're walking around. And every now and then the DJ would come in and be like, I wish somebody was here. Like, I wish I'm all alone. It builds the world and it just makes it feel super real that there's this person that's sitting somewhere playing songs for you. So that was always in the back of our minds. And so we transitioned from the CD, like Blake mentioned, to a giant Spotify list that's like days at this point. And we have a FM transmitter that's going throughout the entire space. Blake bought these old radios, so we provide radios everywhere. So now you can walk around on your desert quest and listen to the soundtrack on your journey that's complementing the desert.
Synced across the entire space because it's coming from a radio broadcast. As long as you tune into that radio station, you're going to get KWHR, the sound of the desert.
Yeah. One of the most recent additions were these radio sound bites that we've always wanted to do, but we just finally decided, okay, we're going to do it. We're going to actually commit to it. So we spent a couple of days writing some scripts, and I spent a couple nights recording about a dozen different versions of these and takes, and went just absolutely bonkers on them. And then we deployed them and we speckled them into the actual playlist. So like every now and then randomly, my insane voice will come in and tell you that you're listening to KWHR, the sound of the desert.
It definitely brings it to life. And every so often you get little hints at the story through it if you're really paying attention. And I especially appreciated those little touches.
This moment of broadcast is brought to you by the Mini Bar. The perfect place to grab all your classic desert refreshments. Something salty, something sweet, something to quench that desert heat. We can't guarantee that it works, but if it does, we guarantee a crackerjack whiz-bang good old time. The Mini Bar, now accepting quantum laser medic payments.
Since the visitors to Wild Heart Ranch are unsupervised, how does hinting work?
Hinting, thankfully, is honestly pretty rare. I would say maybe 1 in 5 groups actually needs a hint. Because people are not timed and because you get to take things at your own pace, it's amazing how often people will actually pause and just figure it out. They'll like go back to the cabin and think about something or bring some pieces of the puzzle with them and they'll figure it out. It's honestly really impressive. Occasionally, I will get a message through Airbnb and it's like, hey, we're at this box out in the middle of nowhere. What do we do with this thing? And I will be like, do you want a hint? Do you want an answer? And I'll walk them through in kind of more of a typical GM style. It is not a character. I play it straight. I just ask, what kind of level of help would you like? I'm happy to provide it. I'm more about lubricate the wheels, let them have the most fun experience possible. And it seems to work out great that way. We've had very few issues where people get full on stuck. We're totally open about the fact that our puzzles are not the most challenging in the larger escape room world. They're relatively straightforward, all things considered. And because of the scope of the space, we have to be pretty deliberate about keeping people on track with point A to B on different elements. We try to keep it pretty streamlined. But yeah, occasionally people will ask for a clue.
Wild Heart Ranch is a really unusual type of property for Airbnb. So how well does that system support your style of experience?
Yeah, this is a challenge that's becoming more of a thing as time goes on. And as more of our guests are strictly escape room enthusiasts, in the beginning, Airbnb was great because it allowed us to put this property on there and our audience, our guests, would come through the larger bucket of Airbnb to searching for cool places to stay in Joshua Tree. So that's how we got all of our initial guests. Now, most people are hearing about it directly and they're reaching out directly. The benefits of Airbnb, because yes, there are those annoying fees and stuff like that. It's starting to lose its benefit a little bit. There are still pluses. I mean, it still is a livable space. There are still protections for both the guest and the host, like if things break, that are beneficial for us. But yeah, you know, it's starting to lose its benefit a little bit. And we are looking at maybe transitioning to direct bookings this year. So it's a question that we're asking ourselves right now, honestly.
That's really interesting. Looking forward to the potential of this whole concept of live-in adventure. What do you wish Airbnb would do differently to better serve things like Wild Heart Ranch?
Right now, there is a aspect of Airbnb called Airbnb Experiences. There are all kinds of very interesting experiences offered by people on this. We would gladly embrace Airbnb Experiences if we could attach that experience to the booking of a space. And amazingly, weirdly, Airbnb does not allow this. They're totally separate silos of the company. So we can't offer it as an add-on.
Can you give us an example of what is an Airbnb experience?
Sure. There'll be like a private chef in the Joshua Tree area will come over and do a cooking class with you. Or I run a four-wheeler tour through the national park. Or I'm a rock climbing guide and I will take your family on a rock climbing trip for the day.
Right.
Those would be Airbnb experiences that you could book on Airbnb.
And add on to your stay.
Exactly, yeah.
From Airbnb's perspective, this experience thing and the rentals things are completely different entities, and they don't allow you to cross the two and say, hey, this is an experience and it is a place to stay. Let us cross list.
Yeah, that's correct.
Yeah, that's annoying.
We could, in theory, you know, do it as an experience exclusively, but then you lose the amenities and the advantages of booking the stay itself. We're kind of caught in the middle there.
For me, as someone who is now going to be a consumer of this kind of thing, I almost am only interested in the intersection of these two anyway. I want to know, what are the experiences that I can stay in?
Yeah. Another thing that infuriates me is Airbnb has this category system where it's like, oh, you can stay in A-frames or you can stay in, you know, resort kind of place. The closest thing is like the game category. And usually that pertains to Airbnbs with pool tables and ping pong tables and maybe some arcade cabinets within the space. That's what they mean by the game category. Amazingly, we do not even qualify for that. We've reached out to Airbnb. We're like, hey, we're this whole escape room experience. Like, it doesn't get more of like a game Airbnb than us. And they're like, yeah, well, it's an automatic thing that's AI generated. They auto tag like those types of listings, but they're just not open to like even considering this type of thing being a category. It's tough for us.
Do they have themed listings? Because I know that like more and more Airbnbs are like, we're Harry Potter themed or we're like Disney themed. Do they have a category for that?
The closest thing is there's an OMG category, which is just bizarre out there things like you stay in a giant potato or something like that. And yet again, we do not qualify as an OMG experience because, again, the algorithm's just like looking at our photos on the Airbnb listing and they're like, well, this Airbnb isn't a giant potato, so we're not going to consider them an OMG property. Trust me, people say OMG when they stay with us. So, but no, there's some really great themed Airbnbs. There's one in the Bay Area that's kind of Tim Burton. I forget the name of it, but it's like very Tim Burton haunted mansion kind of theming, gothic theming. It looks super cool. But yeah, I don't even think that they have like a specific Airbnb tag that applies to them. I think Airbnb is behind the ball on this a little bit.
It sounds like it. We're going to maybe clip this, see if we can tweet it at them, see if any human being is paying attention over there, because I do think that they are seriously missing out and they should be speaking to our community.
Sounds like there's an opportunity there, maybe for unique listings.
I agree.
Do you have advice for visitors on the best way to approach this experience versus how not to approach it?
My advice would just be approach the experience with an open mind. We're not a typical escape room. It's definitely a unique flavor of escape room, and it's going to work in different ways than a lot of escape room enthusiasts might imagine. My biggest piece of advice is take your time with it. Honestly, just enjoy it. Take it slow. Take in the content, take in the desert, take in the space, do the experience in chunks. There's no rush. Have fun with it, absorb it.
I definitely agree with that. I will also add in, don't go doing the escape room player thing and looking for the puzzles. They make themselves very clear, and you will have a better time if you just look for the trailhead. And then once you find that trailhead, just follow it. And you might, especially if you're an experienced player, there will be things that will jump out at you and you'll be like, oh, that's a thing. I could probably go and do it. Don't. Wait until you're clued. Just, this is a chill experience. Be chill.
Couldn't agree more.
Yeah, a lot of groups will plan out their trip. There'll be like a day where they do the park and there'll be a day where they like go to either to like Pappy and Harry's or something like that, or like a bar. And then there'll be the game day where they dedicate half the day or the larger portion of the day to do the game. And so like, I'd recommend building out a holistic plan for the experience.
When we went, we did one cabin's puzzle loop on the first evening. We did it an hour before dusk, and that went really well. We were very happy with our timing. And then the second day, we did a little bit of it in the morning and then realized we wanted it to be dark out. And so we did the rest at night. And I recommend that.
There is one puzzle you have to do at night. So it is also like technologically limiting, but at the same time, we wanted to have a puzzle where you had to do it at night outside, because that's never a thing you do in any escape room ever.
It kind of automatically gates itself.
Yeah.
And it prompts you. What else should people know about visiting the desert?
Again, the Joshua Tree area is truly amazing and magical, and there are so many cool places to go and check out. The national park itself is just an amazing place, and so there's plenty of hiking and awesome things to go check out there. There's lots of bizarre art destinations out here, found art and outdoor sculptural art, lots of cool restaurants and bars. There's a whole community out here. I live here full time, and my wife and I love it. We have a great life out here, good friends. It's a great place to live. When you're coming out to the desert, Wild Heart Ranch isn't exactly in the middle of a neighborhood or the middle of a town. You got your typical creatures out here and you're out in the wild. And we make sure to, you know, plant all the proper warnings and get people prepared and all of the Airbnb materials. But for the most part, once you just pay attention to the basic safety facts, drink a lot of water, all that kind of stuff, you're going to have a really good time. And I feel that most people really do have a magical experience just by being out here.
Drink water, apply sunscreen, don't forget a hat.
One thing I'll add that I appreciate it is that the property is fully enclosed. It's fully fenced in. So if you're planning on coming with small children or dogs like I did, it was nice because they had a place to run around where I didn't really have to worry about, like, are they going to run off into the desert and get eaten by coyotes or something? So, of course, you still want to keep an eye on them. But I do like that it is fully enclosed.
Yes. Pet-friendly escape room. If you want to take your pets out and about, like even on the quest or anything, keep them on a leash, because even our dogs will run off sometimes chasing rabbits, and then who knows where they'll end up. But yeah, all in all, it's pretty safe, and we like to make sure people are taken care of.
Always just respect the desert, respect the environment, be smart. Blake, your wife, Bea, co-owns The Ripped Bodice, a brick-and-mortar bookstore devoted to the celebration of romance novels with locations in Los Angeles and Brooklyn. While I know that this isn't your project, I am curious if her experience creating this store with her sister influenced the work that you are all doing at Wild Heart Ranch.
That is such an excellent question. I would say that Bea and her family are extremely entrepreneurial and they're inspiring. Bea's sister, who manages the day-to-day at The Ripped Bodice, she is just absolutely amazing. I'm consistently so impressed with her ability to manage all these different stores. She's incredibly handy with construction. She renovated and designed the Brooklyn Ripped Bodice, both of them, but most recently the Brooklyn Ripped Bodice, pretty much single-handedly. My father-in-law helped them also build it out, but it's just really amazing, that kind of can-do DIY attitude. And they built these stores, you know, from the ground up themselves, truly, every aspect of it, the shelves, the sourcing the books, they're longtime romance novel fans. So it's just inspiring to see that kind of like entrepreneurial DIY aspect. This is the other thing that I think is amazing about it. When they started and opened a romance-focused bookstore, people were like, what are you talking about? Why would you do that? Why would you bottleneck yourself into such a niche thing? Why not just sell all books plus romance books? And they're like, no, we want to specialize in this niche and be the kind of resource for this genre. And man, it has really taken off. And people have responded to it in such an inspiring and giant way. And I think Wild Heart Ranch is similar to that in a little bit of a degree. We're such a niche type of experience that it's taken a while for people to catch on. But I think that now that people are, they're like, wow, this is a highly specific thing, but we feel like you guys are doing it right. And people really connect with it when it's that specialized and focused. So I would say that maybe those are the comparisons, but it's interesting to think about.
We here at Room Escape Artist have no opinions on niche media and niche businesses. None at all.
Yeah, you wouldn't know anything about that.
Blake, Thomas, what comes next for you? Do you have any other projects you'd like to talk about or promote while you're here?
Yeah, we have plans. I guess the high level is like we're planning on expanding the world.
The world of the Wild Heart Ranch story.
That's right.
We now have access to a brick and mortar space in the town of 29 Palms, which is in the same Joshua Tree area. And we're building our next experience there. It's going to be a different flavor of escape game experience, but it'll still very much be in the world of escape rooms. And it will be kind of an offshoot storyline from Wild Heart Ranch. And yeah, we're really excited about it. We're still trying some new things. We're already working with certain people in the community to get this off the ground. And it's still a ways off, but yeah, we're excited about it. And that's kind of our next major project. Outside of that, we always still have dreams and ideas for expanding Wild Heart Ranch itself. We have a couple other untapped little corners of the property we want to take advantage of and new little puzzle tracks we want to add. Come back in a couple of years and we'll probably have some more tricks for you. So yeah, we got a few things in the pipeline.
This is all very exciting and I cannot wait for all of it.
So what is the best way for people to connect with you and follow your work?
Totally. The first port of entry would be wildheartranchjt.com. Our Instagram for Wild Heart Ranch is wildheartranch_Joshua Tree. I have my personal social account of Blake_Hodges_Koch, as well as my own website, blakehodges.com. That's probably plenty from my side.
Yeah, my Instagram is @ThomasAndTheMestones. That's it. That's for me.
And we'll put links to all of that in the show notes.
Cool.
Awesome.
Blake, Thomas, thank you for joining us. Thank you for creating such a wildly ambitious and unusual adventure. This was a huge risk of a project that I think paid off incredibly for escape room players. I think it paid off for you, but I also think that you have planted the seeds for new types of experiences that are going to blossom out of this. And that is always such an exciting thing to find. And so it's been so much fun hearing more about how this happened and how you have approached making all of this magic.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you so much, David. It's incredibly rewarding to hear that. It's certainly been a passion project. And so it just feels great to hear you say that. So it's much appreciated.
And one of the most exciting things to us is how much the escape room community has embraced this. Again, that imposter syndrome was real. We truly didn't think it was something worthy of escape rooms and the escape room community at large, especially for enthusiasts. But it's so cool to see some people that had done hundreds of rooms come out here and connect with Wild Heart Ranch and what it is. And it means a lot to us. It's very exciting and inspires us to push it out there more. So yeah, thanks for talking to us about it.
It's been an absolute pleasure. The Reality Escape Pod is produced by Teresa Piazza with support by Lisa Spira and Tommy Haughton. We're edited by Steve Ewing of Stand Inside Media, music by Ryan Elder, logo by Janine Procht, and all of this is brought to you by RoomEscapeArtist.com, your home for well-researched, rational, and reasonably humorous escape room and immersive gaming content and events. If we haven't made it clear enough this season, the Reality Escape Convention, Recon, is happening August 18th and 19th, 2024. And if you buy your tickets before May 1st, you will get special benefits in the form of priority session selection for Imagine Ne'er-Do-Wells and the 49 Boxes. Do it now. Get your tickets. We'd also really appreciate it and hope to see you at Recon. You can learn more at realityescapecon.com. Details in the show notes. Believe it or not, we are 10 years into Room Escape Artist. And it took a long time for us to decide that we were going to go and open up a Patreon, but we eventually got there because some loyal readers at the time were really insistent. over the years, we have added a lot of different things to that Patreon. People at the $5 level get access to the bonus show for this podcast. Folks at the $15 level get the incredible Spoilers Club. But more than anything, they get to support all of the things that we're doing here. And that, it's hard to tell you just how much that means to PG and I, to the entire team at Room Escape Artist. We put in so much time, so much love, and so much energy into everything that we are doing here to support the escape room and immersive gaming communities, to push them to be safer and more fun, to be smarter and more efficient, to try and pull new players in. We're working on all of these things all the time. And the money and support that we get from our Patreon community is the fuel that keeps all of that moving forward. If you're a part of that, thank you so much. And if you have been considering becoming a part of it, give it a shot. We really, truly will appreciate it. Thanks. You can learn more about all of this at patreon.com/roomescapeartist. Big thank you to our highest level Patreon supporters. Karen, Dawnward, Panic Room, Piyush from SEO Orb, Olivier Escape, Escaparium, Byron Delmonico, Breakout Games, Keystone Escape Games, Derek Tam, Paula Swan, and Rex Miller. Thank you for your ongoing support. And thank you to all of our patrons at all levels.
You've made it to the end of this podcast. You must be an amazing, resilient, and very loyal person. If you're still feeling that delightful afterglow, why don't you head on over to Apple Podcasts or wherever you review your podcasts and leave us a 5-star review. It really means a lot, and it helps us to spread the word.
My now wife, Bea, our second date ever was to an escape room in LA. And this is a tremendous gamble because she had never done an escape room ever in her life. And obviously after our first date, it became clear how passionate I was about this. And so for our second date, I was like, hey, would you be down to go try an escape room? And she was like, I'm terrified and I don't think I should do this, but sure, let's go. And long story short, it all worked out. We're now married and living a happy life. Escape rooms can bring people together.